so many jobs in different kinds of fields. Like, they don't pay enough really to be a true livable wage like we'd like. It can create some challenge. Part of the reason I started this podcast to begin with is my whole career, I've worked at stuff that has intersected with money. So I've been very blessed to really understand it and to really dive deep into it. But it creates a lot of stress for people.
You know, how much does that tuition actually cost? And I think honestly, there's so many choices that if we just apply a little bit of math instead of applying everyone's status quo, we can really live a lot smarter. We can think in terms of how to really do that.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline, or Jax Kreider. And today we have Miss Kelly, and she has got an incredible story. She's an incredible woman, and so she's going to tell us a little bit
just to tell you a little bit about
who she is, what she does, and what she wants to talk about today. So welcome, Kelly.
I've been in that field for 32 years, a little bit more than that now. And just veterinary medicine tends to be a little bit of a low-paying field. So it's one of those situations where I've spent so long in it as a veterinary technician and now a multi-site manager, and I've just had a real opportunity to figure out how to maximize the other things going on in my life, making sure that I create an opportunity to retire at some point in time and even potentially retire early by gamifying my life a little bit and creating side hustles that not only add to the happiness in my life, but also give me a really good ramp and a good financial basis to create an emergency fund and make sure that I have that early retirement stipend that I can really live off down the road.
I love that. Well, and fun fact, had I not been allergic to cats, I actually probably would have been a vet, like the actual doctor vet. I love, love, love animals. In fact, you guys can't hear it right now in the podcast, but I have a Great Dane snoring in the background. I can hear her, but y'all can't. So fun fact. So I love animals, but you're so right. I mean, so many jobs in different kinds of fields, they don't pay enough really to be a true livable wage like we'd like. It can create some challenge because, I mean, part of the reason I started this podcast to begin with is my whole career, I've worked at stuff that has intersected with money. So I've been very blessed to really understand it and to really dive deep into it, but it creates a lot of stress for people because, you know, that old adage is what my mother says. She says, you know, money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure does help. And it's true, right? Because if you're in a position where you feel broke or you feel like you don't have enough, you feel like you're coming from a place of lack, it's a hard place to be. And so I agree with you that sometimes creating side hustles can be helpful. But to your point, and I think you and I briefly talked about this before, and we'll kind of dive into this a little bit more. I think that if you're doing a side hustle that you're actually really passionate about, something that you actually really enjoy, is super helpful because now it's not just this extra job that's sucking more of your time out, right? It's something that you really can cut your teeth in. You really can dive deep.
When I think one of the things oftentimes that we look at in veterinary medicine is the fact that
start a side hustle and it actually ends up replacing, right?
Like what they incredibly high burnout rate. Both of those things, I think, are compounded by the fact that we don't make a lot of money. And one of the things that has really driven me throughout my life and my career has been wanting to stay in this career. It's incredibly impactful to be in a career where you know that everyone who's working around you is doing it because they love animals, because they really want to help and do good in this world. And it's absolutely impactful now that, you know, at this point in my career, I'm actually able to create a group on Facebook that we actually try and do education, financial education, trying to make sure that people actually have the know-how to get out from under some of the weight of that incredible financial burden, both from school and from not making a lot of low-income earners. And it's definitely one of those situations where when we look at veterinary medicine, you know, generally our debt-to-income ratio is so incredibly topsy-turvy compared to all of the other professions. We're just a really high debt-to-income ratio. And beyond that, you know, we work really, really hard. So the burnout is really there. And so I really like to think about, hey, how can I create something in my life that not only gives me that extra income so that I can stay doing what I really love? For my case, it's actually vacation rentals. We have vacation rentals kind of throughout the world at this point. Our vacation rentals are about 4,000 miles away from our house. And it's just an amazing thing to have this side hustle that not only helps me get to and closer to eventual retirement, but also gives me an excuse to actually get away from things and gives me an excuse to travel and frankly, a way to do that in a tax forward way. I really want that same type of situation for the other people that I'm touching. So that financial education group is called VetTech Life Financial Fitness. And we do a lot of just educating people on, hey, you don't think that you could ever afford a house. Well, here is the option of doing an FHA loan, which not only allows you to get a single house, but maybe a duplex to help with the mortgage. Or, hey, maybe owning a house is not the right situation for you. Maybe you need to do that math and really decide what is more financially forward for you. And just letting people think outside the box just a little bit. For example, I haven't owned a car in probably about 4 or 5 years. And it's just a matter of, I did the math. You know, I really looked at, does it make sense for me to own a car? I only go to the airport and back. Or does it make sense to Uber every place that I go? You know, what is the fiscal way forward there? Same thing with trying to maximize our 401ks, trying to maximize the tax benefits of any of our side hustles. Just a lot of different little bits and pieces, trying to put them all together, because one thing might not be the right thing for you, but something else might be something that you can put into your life and make your life just a little bit easier.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your home ownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I agree. Well, and I mean, so for those of you who are listening who don't understand really what debt to income ratio is, it's basically a mathematical calculation that takes how much debt you're holding, whether that be credit cards, installment loans, that could be like car or student loans, things like that, right? mortgage if you have it, any of those kind of things. And it takes that number and it divides by the amount of income that you make monthly. Now, in at least in mortgage land, that is the gross amount of income. That's the percentage. Obviously, you know, we know that in real life, we pay taxes and there's other things that come out of that money that make it a little bit less. But if we're talking in a very traditional sense, that's what that is, right? And yes, I definitely agree with you that, first of all, we're very blessed that now we're living in a time where probably for one of the first times in all of history, we have so many different options. We have so many different choices and we have so many different ways that not only can you make money, but you can restructure your finances, right? You could do things differently. Like, for instance, I was thinking to myself when you were talking about not owning a car, I live in Texas. We pretty much travel everywhere in cars because we're very spread out or, you know, geographically. However, I actually do also know people who don't own cars. And when I've had some conversations and kind of dug in with them about how that looks for their life, because it doesn't bother me that they do something different than I do. I've been met with that one of them lives pretty close to work. So she either walks or rides a bike, right? And so that allows her to do that. And then she gets all of her groceries delivered. And, you know, think about it, pretty much pre-COVID, that really wasn't a thing. They had a little bit of delivery service before that, especially in major cities like New York City. But for regular, like other cities, that really wasn't as much of a thing. Especially not, you know, for smaller places. And now that's a thing, right? And that's something that can, you know, allow you to be able to not have to go as many places, you know, and have to own a car. And so I famously did this podcast episode with a woman where the story that I told about her is that she and I, when we were first introduced, she's a financial coach. We were first introduced, we're on this phone call together and she's like, well, I just, you know, what are you trying to get out of this call? And I said, okay, that's fair. Why do you ask that question? She said, well, I just don't feel like we're very aligned. I said, okay, why do you feel that way? Well, you think that owning a house is the only way. And I said, you're wrong. I don't feel that way. I feel like it's whatever way financially, right? You want to succeed. And so for me personally, I can't imagine not owning a car. I don't know if it's because I'm a Texan or because it's just part of my identity. I don't know. But I think that's amazing that you took the steps to step back and say, okay, what does this look like financially? Do I really need a car? Is this something that fits into my bigger picture in life? And I think that for me is what my podcast is all about, is I want you to look at it and I want you to have different perspectives and I want you to have different viewpoints and I want you to step back and ask yourself, you know, why do I want to own a home? Why do I want to own a car? Is it because I actually want to own those things or because somebody
and I think that's where a
that
lot
was
of
a
us
path I needed to go down.
Maybe accept the status quo.
But it doesn't actually resonate with
the story
like,
that we're
where
told
I'm at
from the
or
start,
the alignment
right?
in my life.
And we're starting to see that there's a lot of those stories that maybe are colored by personal experience. I think that honestly, there's so many people who are making a go of it, doing extra things or doing separate things or doing different things. You know, there are people who make far more than I do as tradespeople, right? They're, you know, they're trained on the job and they do some type of, some type of mastery program in order to get there and they can make more. And honestly,
absolutely.
That, you know, the debt to income ratio that you were talking about earlier, that I was really speaking in terms of debt associated with student debt. There's so many mathematical things that tell us that, hey, that might not be the best route either. I was reading Quit Like a Millionaire, and they talk about the POTS score in that book. And the POTS score is really what the earning income of a position is versus, you know, how much does that tuition actually cost? And I think honestly, there's so many choices that if we just apply a little bit of math instead of applying everyone's status quo, we can really live a lot smarter. We can think in terms of how to really do that. I have a lot of team members, especially supporting hospitals on the East Coast, who say, gosh, I can't afford a house. And the reality is that if you start to think in terms of, hey, how could I afford a house that not only is a house for myself, is someplace that I can live, is someplace that potentially allows my 65 animals, but also is someplace that potentially could be an income earning thing, right? Maybe it's a multifamily. Maybe there's some kind of ADU or accessory dwelling unit with that property. Maybe there's a way of making sure that when you're looking at how to do it, you're thinking just a little bit smarter. When we think about those things like a multi family unit. For example, the one that I live in, I got it on, I actually got this house on foreclosure, got it for a very small portion of what it's actually worth at the time that I purchased it. And it was just listed inappropriately, but it actually has three different areas. So in theory, I can rent out all three of those areas and actually pay for my full mortgage, or two of those areas and pay for most of my mortgage, in addition to earning towards the overall, you know, actual worth of this house and resale value of this house. And it's one of those situations where when we look at it, yes, houses can be incredibly expensive. Yes, houses can be incredibly costly in terms of repairs and things like that. But if the math maths, then that's the way to go. And if we're thinking about this, I just really want all of my friends, all of my people, all of the people that hear some of this financial education to really think about, hey, how do I do things just a little bit smarter? Or how do I think outside the box to potentially do things? How do I think outside the box to potentially get a side hustle that really serves the type of life that I want to live? And how do I ask those questions to really think about, hey, where am I going to be in 2-3 years? Where am I going to be in 5 years? Where am I going to be in 10 years? How can I plan forward for the best life possible?
Yeah, no, and I totally agree. So actually, I literally am just coming off of doing three different podcast recordings, one by myself and two with two other guests, where we spoke specifically about student loans, because this is something that I am particularly really passionate about for exactly the reason that you said, like you were reading in this book, that is what I feel like has to happen, is you have to kind of step back and ask yourself, okay, so first of all, you know, how much is it going to cost to be able to get this degree? And then what am I trying to do with it? And I get it. I know that not every, you know, 18-year-old going into school is going to have exactly the path charted out for them. But one of the things that I really encourage is before either you get your child to go step into this debt, or you are stepping into the debt for your child, whichever way, right? That you need to step backwards, and before you just hear what everybody has convinced everybody of, that, oh man, you know, you have to go get that 4-year degree, right? And possibly more. And oh man, this is the only way you're going to succeed. Like, you've got to step back, and it's okay to challenge that. It's okay to say, okay, maybe this isn't the highest and best use for my kiddo, for myself, right? If you're the 18-year-old getting ready to step out, it's okay to step back and to challenge that and to think it through and to, you know, go. I mean, I encourage, so there's a woman that I knew, she was actually finishing up high school, and I asked her, what is it that she wanted to do for a living? Like, what did she want to eventually do? And she said, oh, I want to really be a lawyer. And I said, oh, that's awesome. So I have a law degree. And I said to her, have you ever really been around many lawyers? And she's like, well, no. And I said, I highly encourage you to go try to find a job in a law office, right? Whether that be a receptionist, whether that be like any kind of a job, right? Or an internship, whatever that looks like, so that you can get a really good feel for what that looks like. Because becoming a lawyer, a doctor, you know, something that has a high level of education, there's nothing wrong with it. And we need those people to have that education. They have to have it to be able to do the job. That's true. But that's going to be a lot of time, a lot of years in school spent, and a lot of money spent. And you need to look at it and say, do I even like this? Do I even enjoy this? Or do I like the idea because somebody convinced me that this is going to be the right path for me? You know what I mean? Because law school, I mean, I'll never forget when I was in law school, because I basically did 4 years of undergrad, then I took a break and I did like about 3 or 4 years off. And then I went back and I went to night law school and I did 4 years of night law school and graduated. And my law school was considered cheap. And I got a scholarship and some other things. And I was $100K in debt just from that, not from undergrad. Just from that. And that was like a low level of debt. And I'll never forget, as I asked some of my fellow classmates, you know, why they were in law school or whatever, a lot of them, what happened is that they got out of school. It was a bad economy. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't get jobs. And so they just went to get another level of degree. They had no plan. They had no ideas or whatever. And I'm like, y'all are taking on 6 figures of debt for what exactly? Like, do you even know if you like the career that you want to go down this path? And so for me, that I'm the same. I'm like, look, I'm not mad about any decision you make. And every decision you choose, you're not going to pick perfectly anyways, right? Like, I'm sure you like, look, if you look back at your life, you're like, man, why did I make that choice? That was not a great choice. I wish I would have picked something different.
And that actually we all do that a little bit to
being intentional to about thinking it through and stepping back.
We have the option of potentially pursuing something like a veterinary degree, which is 8 years of education and $250,000 of debt. Whereas there's so many other options, one of which is veterinary technician. And I've talked a little bit about how it's pretty low paying. But when you look at the idea of a licensed veterinary technician against what it might be to be unlicensed as a veterinary assistant, I love to look at things mathematically. And when you're thinking about that, and if you actually look at the Department of Labor scores, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, to see what those differences are, one of the big things that I like to get people to think about is when you're looking at that math for a veterinary assistant versus a veterinary technician, within 5 years, they're actually making $50,000 cumulatively more than what someone who's unlicensed would be making. And that's taking into account the fact that these online programs are about $8,000. Now, the other thing that I like to get them thinking about is the fact that a lot of these veterinary clinics nowadays are subsidizing that education. And so when we're thinking about this, it goes both ways, right? Do we want to take on $250,000 worth of debt to increase our overall income to that of a veterinarian, which is, you know, $120,000 to $200,000, depending on if you specialize or things like that. When we're thinking about a veterinary assistant versus a veterinary technician, you know, we're talking about roughly doubling our income per hour for an $8,000 worth of debt over that overarching 5 years out, you know, especially if you're in a clinic that really recognizes licensure, that can really make a huge impact to us. And so it goes both ways. I really love the idea of getting people to think about not only, hey, do we need to go the veterinary route, or would you rather do the petting of puppies, kittens, and the actual technical work? It can be incredibly hard. It can be incredibly financially daunting, but it can actually lead to more people time, more pet time, more actual hands-on. And the POTS score, that score that we look at for how much debt, student debt we take on versus how much our income changes, can be incredibly impactful. And what I'd also say is that if you don't come out with $250,000 of debt, that can be a really impactful thing as well, right? You can sit down and make pretty quick work of $8,000, whereas $250,000, you know, it's really tough to scratch that surface. I heard you talk about your undergraduate. My undergraduate was a little over that six-figure mark, a little over the 100,000. My graduate school, I got an MBA, was a little over 50,000. It's a lot. And thankfully, what I'd say is that I went to a really sensible graduate school, and that has really paid off in terms of how much income impact that had.
Yep.
But when we're thinking about this, I just really want everyone to think about, for their own lifestyle, how does that look in terms of what is that going to do for your overall income? You can look at that Bureau of Labor Statistics and look for your area, how much that change is going to look like, and really do that calculation. Hey, in a year, how much is that going to change? In 2 years, how much is that going to change? And what does that look like against that debt? Just to make the right decision for you. Not every decision is going to be the right decision for you. You have to factor in how happy you are. And again, like, utilization of side hustles and gamifying life in order to allow us to choose the thing that makes us happy and not just have to choose based on financial outcomes as well.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy to understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
Well, I think that's also, again, the beautiful part about the time that we're living in. You know, used to, right. I mean, when you got out of whatever formal schooling, right? Like whether that, and not everybody even graduated high school, right? Back in the day. I mean, both my mom's parents, one had an eighth grade education. I think the other had a sixth grade education. And they both, it's why my Oma was so big on education, because she thought that she would have liked to get at least a little bit more, right? Like she would have liked to do a little bit more. But back then there really wasn't a whole lot of options. I mean, my Opa stopped going to school because he had to help on the farm, you know, like that was just kind of the thing. Now we have more choices than you can ever imagine. And so you are able to step back and ask yourself some questions like, what is it that I want to do? What am I actually passionate? What am I good at? Right? Like naturally, what kind of things like wake me up or whatever? Because before, you know, we had people who they were going to school to become a doctor or a lawyer or a vet or whatever it is, right? That they felt, because they felt like, okay, well, this is going to earn me a really good living. I'm going to get that respect factor. And I feel like anymore, that's not necessarily true. First of all, again, you have to look at the actual math. And then number two, you have to look at, you know, there's a lot of careers that weren't even a thing back then. I mean, I tell this story all the time. I'll never forget when my girls came up from high school and they were like, yeah, Jax, being a YouTuber is a real job. And I was like, what? Playing video games is a real job, Jax. And I was like, what? I mean, they're not wrong, right? But like from, you know, old school mentality, like that was never a thing in your mind, right? I mean, I have a ton of friends that make really significant incomes dealing with content, you know, doing marketing, having YouTube channels, all kinds of things like this, very non-traditional types of things. And it's really expanded my viewpoint because I was raised very traditionally, very traditional ideas surrounding money. And there's nothing necessarily inherently wrong about understanding the baselines of money. However, I do think that you can kind of stretch those bounds based on your lifestyle, what you want to do, and to your point, to gamify your life and to really enjoy it. Like, there's never been a time like right now for you to actually be able to take that and embrace that, right? I mean, who would have thought 20 years ago
that
there could be people making
goofy videos
online?
One of the big things that I love to think about
and making an actual living with
that really, really ignite my soul. Well, travel is one of those, right? I really wanted something that would support my travel. And I think when I say to people that I either do, you know, speaking at veterinary conferences or that I do vacation rentals or that I have a veterinary technician cruise, I think everyone sees that as like, well, that's amazing. Like, how could you ever possibly get into that? Especially the vacation rentals, right? There's that barrier of, well, I'm not rich enough to start something like that. And the reality is that saving money as a veterinary technician, saving 50% of my income for the vast majority of my career was incredibly impactful for that. But also, I didn't start with a lot, right? One of my vacation rentals actually cost me $40,000. And it was one of those situations where we're just getting to the point of rolling that out, but it's a beautiful little geodesic dome in the middle of Alaska. And it has beautiful picture windows where you can stare out of them and watch the moose amble through the yard with her babies, or go upstairs in the loft and watch the northern lights from your bed. It's an incredible experience, but it was not a situation where I had to mortgage my life to do it. You know, it was a very affordable type of situation. And it's just a matter of thinking a little bit smarter about it. Our other vacation rental down in Vieques, Puerto Rico, for sure. We actually bought that for a very, very low amount. I just found a place that actually fit the bill. It was on this beautiful little island where horses outnumber the people. And I was able to buy it on something called owner financing. Again, just thinking a little bit outside the box. I don't have a ton of money to put down on something like that. And so talking to the owner, I talked to him a little bit about, hey, what would this look like if I was to make this affordable for myself? I can't get this type of loan from a bank because most of my money is, you know, kind of socked up in my main house. How can I make this work? And how can I make this work for you? And he loved the idea of that income stream coming in instead of getting really hit with all of that, you know, all of the taxes associated with the sale. And all of those types of deals exist out there. I don't care what you want to do. If you want to do something, I guarantee that there's a way to figure out how to gamify it so that you're doing it for little or no money to start it up. I really want you to think about, hey, how to think about outside of the box. I have a friend who actually does really incredible work creating situations where people can do their startups for little or no money. And it's very much something that's doable no matter what you're looking at doing. It is possible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Like so many people, I mean, they think, oh my gosh. And honestly, so Financial Mastery Simplified, that's sort of my secondary, you know, business or whatever. It all ties back, like mortgage is my main job. However, I pretty much just bootstrapped that with very little money. You know what I mean? Just sort of ingenuity and my own information. And in a period of time where I was probably in one of the worst financial situations I'd ever been in my whole entire career, right? A lot of that, and I have told some of that story on some of the podcasts, and I will continue to tell the story as the rest of it unfolds. But the one thing that I will say is some of it was maybe due to some risk that my husband and I took knowingly, knowing that there was a little bit of risk there. And then some of it, we got into some financial situations because of other people's actions and, you know, some legal things that kind of went down and whatever. Right. And so, you know, the truth is that I part of the reason I talk about that is because you don't know what you're capable of until you try. You know, I mean, I knew that based on everything that I was going through and all the information in my head and my passion to really help people and for them to live their own life in their own terms and their own financial way, I was like, no, I'm just going to go forward with this. I don't really have the time or the money or any of the things, but guess what? We're just going to go down this path because the truth is that I do have a voice and I do have something that needs to be said to help people because, like, you know, same as you, I mean, I'm very passionate about what I do for a living and I want people to get to where they want in life. And that's actually what I did as mortgage started to kind of slow down a little bit. I asked myself, well, why do I do it in the first place? Right? Like, cause I kind of ended up in it on accident, but why do I do it? And my answer was because I genuinely like to help people financially succeed. And I know that mortgage is not the only way to help them financially succeed, right? It's one of the ways, like, owning a home is one of the largest wealth differentiators out there. But I also know it's not for everybody. And to your point, sometimes people don't need an actual mortgage because they're doing something a little more creative, like owner financing or something like this. And I said, well, then how do I continue to help people do what it is that I feel like is my highest and best use? And the answer was to start that, right? No different than you said, hey, I love to travel. How do I make that more tax deductible? How do I get to do it more with less money, right? Like how does that look? And so that's what I tell people all the time is, right? Like step back and start asking yourself, like, what aligns with your life? What does that look like for you?
How do you do that? A point in time where there was more tools out there to help you do whatever you want to do. And honestly, you know, I've just had a conversation with someone about the SBA, SBC, depends on where you're at as to what it's called, but the Small Business Administration, you know, here's a governmental agency that's just charted with helping you start it. literally people who will mentor you through, who will give you help, who will help you apply for grants to get started. There has never been a time frame where it was easier to start up whatever you want to do in life, really.
For sure. Well, and then not only that, but then even if you don't necessarily, let's pretend mm-hmm. that you don't get the money, or you don't, like, for instance, in my space, it's very hard for us to get any sort of grants because we work in money. And so they don't like to give money to people in money for whatever the reason is. Like, we have a hard time getting loans or credit cards or anything for that for our businesses for that reason. Yep. It's a very big challenge. And so, I mean, you have AI, which is basically like the cheapest $20 assistant you can ever have, right? You have YouTube, which has more free information about how to start something or whatever. Then you have a lot of paid programs, right, that people offer that are amazing programs, and a lot of them are low cost, right? Some of them, like, from anywhere from like $50
well, honestly,
to
YouTube
maybe
has been the
$1,000 or something.
I mean,
that's way cheaper.
Funny enough,
than
like,
the way that you would have had
website,
to do it old school way.
How to create an offer, how to create an online program, how to do marketing for our businesses, you know, how to create Facebook pages, how to get the word out there, how to increase any kind of rentals, how to set up my rentals. I've YouTubed just about everything. I will tell you that sometimes spending just a little bit of money for an all-in-one class is really incredible. To that point, you know, I put together one for short-term rentals. I put together a few of them for veterinary medicine. And I do think that there's something to the idea of, you know, putting something that is all-inclusive together. But I will tell you that my significant other absolutely YouTubed how to brace up a geodesic dome with a car iron. Like, it's, you can find something on how to do whatever you're trying to do. And all you have to do is put in the work and the effort in order to get there. Now, that's not to say that I'm trying to minimize anything that you might be up against. There are a million different ways that the world can beat you down. And I will tell you that, I think we've probably all had that, and everyone, it hits everyone just a little bit different, and it might be impacting you a little bit more. And that's 1000% the reality of your situation. But if you take that opportunity to try and make the most of it, even if it's not today, tomorrow, next week, you know, even if it's a slow burn, you're really working towards the best life for you and your family.
For sure. Well, and I mean, the truth is that you do have to, it's why it's important, whatever you choose to do, that you exactly. are doing something that you actually enjoy, that you actually want to continue forward, because you're more than likely going to hold through and have more wherewithal and more desire to see it through to fruition. If you're just doing it because you're only doing it for money's sake, yes, you can accomplish it for sure, right? And you can force your way through it. But part of the reason that, like, I a lot of times, you know, kind of dog a little bit, and I know people get in trouble, you know, get mad at me for saying it, but I dog a little bit on Dave Ramsey, is I think his ideas and his
make
philosophies are good
you.
In theory. But the challenge is that, well, number one, not all debt is bad. There is good debt and bad debt, right? Not all things. Yeah. Well, and not all, the other thing is like, a lot of the things that he says is like, oh, okay, like the debt snowball, it totally works. That definitely works. But however, you have to make sure that we've done the mindset work to fix the ultimate problem right. of just, you know, spending money like it's going out of style, right? Or living beyond our means, or whatever is challenging this. Because even if you do all of the right things financially, if you don't have a container that is going to set you up for success with anything, including side hustles, you're not going to succeed.
Absolutely.
Not because you're not smart enough, not because you're not capable enough, not because of any of that. It's because you did not set yourself up for success. And anything with financial, I mean, I tell people all the time who say, oh, well, I don't know if I can be a homeowner. I'm like, look, just so we're clear, I can help anybody become a homeowner. Literally anybody. It does not matter your situation. The question will be, will you be willing to put in the work? Will you listen to the advice that is given to get you to the path, right? And guess what? I can't decide that. I don't know if you will or you won't do that. And so I always tell people, it's really going to be up to you. And you have to set up that container to allow yourself kind of to step in. And so it's super important for people to understand that if you're not doing that part properly, and you're not also, nothing is a quick fix. Like, I love that everybody on everywhere advertises and like, yeah, you're going to make loads of money in the next 20 minutes. And you're like, yeah, okay, that's not true. As a general rule, maybe you might luck into it once. Probably not true though. But yes, if you stick with anything and you force yourself down the path, I mean, again, what has made me most successful is I'm really good at what I do. And if I can get you one-on-one and we can have a conversation, man, lights out, I can show you that I can show you the path to wherever you want to be. The problem is as I was trying to grow my business and as mortgage was changing, I'm like, okay, how do I do this on a broader scale? Like, what do I do here? How does this look? I had to teach myself everything. I didn't know how to market stuff. I didn't know how to deal with a website. Like, to your point, all these things, I'm like, I don't know how to do any of these things. And guess what? I just knew I was smart enough. And I was capable enough. So I just said, okay, we're going to go forward and we're going to do it. Oh, yeah, of course. Say hi, Portia.
Love it. And honestly, it's one of those situations.
I told you, we're definitely a dog household over here. There is five in my office right now.
It's one of those situations where anything that you dream up, you know,
the others are really little, though.
It's just a matter of how are you going to set yourself up for doing it, and how are you going to fit it all into your life? And I don't know about you, but a fair number of people that I talk to see that as a significant thing with just time in their life. And the reality is that if you've got time to watch an hour-long episode of XYZ, The Pitt, or Married at First Sight, you have time to start a business. And, you know, double points if you can do it while watching Married at First Sight, right? Like, double points. There's just so many things out there that I really wish people would take an effort to do. And I really do wish that people would be very insightful about making sure that it fiscally makes sense for them before they travel down the path. You know, so many of these people are really looking for side hustles and maybe gravitate towards those MLM routes or something along those lines and spend money in a way that's not going to fiscally make sense for them down the road. When in fact, you know, they could put as much time and effort into something that maybe doesn't have a startup cost and just do significantly better. MLM being multi-level marketing, which is effectively, you know, some type of pyramid scheme or some type of mid-level sales where you have to purchase an inventory and then sell to friends.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, and like I said, I mean, it's just crazy. I'm one of those very good examples of the fact that I didn't really have the time. I mean, I have a toddler, I have multiple businesses, I have all these different things. Well, and I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the podcast, but I actually have a second job. And I did that to make sure that we could stay financially afloat in this period. And a lot of people would be like, oh my gosh, well, you know, you're doing all those things. And I have a friend who tells me all the time, Jax, you just have more hours in the day. And I said, no, I'm just more diligent about how I use my hours than most people. So it has nothing to do with me having more hours in the day, right?
Absolutely.
I think you just have to decide like what's really important to you. And for me, what's really important to me is building multiple streams of income, right? Making sure that on the flip side of what we have, you know, come out of with all of this challenge in our personal and professional lives, like that comes out and that I'm still able to touch and reach the people that I want to be able to reach, and that I can build a life where I'm not necessarily having to work as much as I'm working right now. So I'm willing to put in that work right now to be able to have the payoff long term. And so that's one of those things too. You know, I tell people all the time, choose your heart. There is plenty of things in life that are not necessarily easy, that are not necessarily exactly the way you wanted them to go or be or whatever, right? But the thing is that you have to choose your heart, right? Because there is a flip side for every single thing, right? So like I tell people all the time, want to own a home, don't want to own a home. It's fine for me if you don't want to own a home. If that's not on your bucket list, like that's okay. But again, like, choose your hard. So my question to the friend who said that she never wanted to own a home and that's why we weren't aligned, I said, okay, cool. I said, I don't have a problem that you don't want to own a home. What is your plan for making sure that you accumulate wealth, right? Because in a weird way, a house is like a giant savings plan where you're kind of locking money in a weird way, right? Like, not exactly, but kind of, sort of. And she had a very well thought through, well laid out plan of exactly how she wanted that to look. I said, great. I said, okay, you clearly have an idea of exactly how that looks. And so you chose your hard, right? That's the way that you want it to look. So mm-hmm. you don't have to deal with this. I did challenge her a little bit because part of the reason that she did not want to own a home had to do with some childhood trauma. And so I challenged her to go back and look at the math because, again, I don't have a problem with her not wanting to own a home. That's not the issue. The issue is there something that is coming into your life right. that is making you feel one way versus the other, right? Just like the status quo. Everyone needs to go to a four-year institution. That's totally not true. But I also tell people I have multiple degrees, so I'm obviously not anti, just Absolutely. Like you, we're not anti-education.
And I will say too, that
we're just pro,
you know, there,
look at the full picture and make sure that
so
you
many
make
ways
the right decisions
in which
for
you
your
can
path,
plan forward,
right?
Just like your friend was talking about. And, you know, for example, owning a home here in Milwaukee, it doesn't physically make sense. The taxes on my house currently is $12,000 a year, which far outstrips how much is actually going into the mortgage and how much wealth is accumulating from, you know, growth in home value and things like that. But because this is a tri-section house, when we rent the bonus room, when we rent our extra section, that kind of evens right. it out. And, you know, down the road, when we move to more of a country house, we probably won't have that rental income. And so, again, it's all about the math. It's all about what is going to work out best for you, what works with your life. Now, a lot of people would say, gosh, I could never have a roommate.
For sure.
I could never have, you know, someone living alongside me in the house. I totally understand that. But find someplace else in your life where it makes sense financially to do something a little bit differently. You know, don't cancel all of your subscriptions if Netflix is the reason you get up in life. Like, absolutely not. But cancel the ones that maybe you haven't watched in
For
20
sure.
years. Or, you know, if latte every morning is the reason that you are happy in the wide, wide world, awesome. Don't change that. But maybe if you wanted to make it at home, cool. There's just a million different ways. I have people all the time tell me that there's just no way that they could get by in life without a car. I totally understand that. I totally understand where they're coming from. But the reality is that it works well for my life.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, and that's what I said. I mean, you know, I think until I started having some of those conversations with people, I was like, oh, I never really thought about that. And then I kind of, like, you know, stepped back and said, well, if, you know, their lifestyle was a certain way and, like, this is the way that they had it structured, like, that might actually work super well, right? You definitely would have to be a little bit more diligent about, like, where you live and, like, where your job is and, like, some of the proximity pieces to make sure that that aligns and works well. But there's not necessarily anything inherently wrong with it. And that's honestly what I feel like this whole conversation has been about, is the truth is, no matter what you want to do, right, you can find your level of financial success. You can find what is going to fit your life. But stepping back and do, you know, and considering what the math looks like and how it fits with, you know, your life and your lifestyle and what that looks like and how that connects is going to be one of the bigger aspects, right? And again, however that looks for you, no judgment. Right. And if you are coming across other people who have judgment against that, you might want to step back and consider those relationships and, you know, why they're passing judgment on you. Because I found that I've had to really challenge some people in my life that I'm very close to's opinions about things because they don't agree right. with certain aspects of whatever it is that I'm doing. And I can appreciate that very, very much. But it doesn't necessarily mean they're living my life. So they don't get to weigh in, but so much. I appreciate their opinion. I appreciate who they are and what the importance they held in my life. But otherwise, I don't really take that into account. Absolutely. And so, yeah, Kelly, as we finish up this episode, kind of give us last minute thoughts,
our listeners
wrap up, and then I do think you have like a free
here.
Offer.
I would love for them
listeners.
To think about, hey, what are the three most important things in your life, and how are the things in your life serving those or not serving those? For me, travel was top notch. Family is top notch. And financial stability is top notch, right? Those are my top three things that I need to get done in my life. And honestly, when I looked at my life and I thought to myself, gosh, you know, how can I really do the things that I want to do? How can I stay in this profession that I love, but still honor my family and make sure that, you know, I have that financial stability and that ability to travel? Really, the things that pointed to that were, as my side hustles grew, you know, having some vacation rentals and having that ability to, if I ever need to, step back from a full-time position because I have that other side income coming in, you know, the veterinary technician crews, that allows me to travel even more so. And just making sure that when I'm thinking about this, that I'm saving up enough to have both an emergency fund and a fund forward for early retirement at some point. You know, and I'm not too far off of it, even though I've had a couple of big financial hits. And so just really keeping those goals in mind as I'm programming my life. And I really would love for everyone who's listening to this to think about that as well. Maybe your financial goal is housing, right? Maybe you can think about, hey, how can I start working towards that? And Jack's not, you know, not to put you on the spot here, but talk to your mortgage professional early, because they can really help you set yourself up, especially if you're thinking 1 year, 2 years down the road. And they can really help you make sure that you're in the right direction.
For sure.
To get there. As far as an offer for our listeners, we'll go ahead and put a link in the notes, but I'll give you an offer for 10% off of our short-term rental course. It'll actually be applicable to any of the courses on my online learning platform, but most of those are veterinary. So if you're not in the veterinary field, I can see how some of those might not apply to you. But if you have any inclination as to, hey, that short-term rental type of lifestyle really sounds like something that I would enjoy, and maybe I don't have enough to get into it, it gives a lot of really good options as to different ways to get into it with little or no money in. Because let's face it, some of us have to bootstrap just a little bit. And lots of good, you know, low cost marketing and lots of good automation so that it doesn't take over your life, so that it stays as a side hustle.
For sure.
And not something that drives you insane on your off time.
Yeah, no, I love that. Well, and we do have some tools that actually, when people are reaching out to us early, it does help them track some different aspects of what's going on in their life to help get them to the position. And you were talking earlier a little bit about figuring out like where you're spending your money.
Yeah.
I offer like a free budgeting, kind of like it's like a spreadsheet. And basically the goal is to walk you through 30 days of tracking where your spending is, and not your big spending, not like your mortgage or whatever, like your little spending. So you can figure out where your money is actually going and the things that like, you're like, no, this is a priority, I want to keep it. Or like, man, I didn't even realize I was spending, you know, $400 on small little Target trips over the course. You know, maybe I need to like step back from that for a minute and get some more money back into my budget, like whatever that looks like. So there's so many tools out there, guys. And if you don't find Kelly's or mine helpful, find whatever tool is going to resonate with you. Because again, our goal here is to make sure that you're financially succeeding in a way that aligns with you. That's the whole premise for Financial Mastery Simplified, your life, your terms, right? Your life on your terms. And so that is really what it look like. So thank you so much, Kelly, for being a part of this episode. Hopefully you guys found that super helpful, and we'll look forward to seeing you back next week on another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.